Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Aw, you know what this means. Hugh, you know who we got coming up next, don't you? It's Tuesday.
Ross Tucker.
Aw, see, you nailed it. Only took a year and a half for this segment.
I don't want to make Ross mad.
We're all mad at the Eagles. So, all right, joining us now, you know him, Ross Tucker, CBS NFL, and, of course, the host of the Ross Report on social media every day, talking Eagles. Ross, how you doing today?
Ross!
You know what? I tell you guys the same thing every time. I'm always happy because as soon as you guys play that song, it puts a smile on my face. That was like old school. That was like hardcore country when she was a teenager.
Yeah, that's OG stuff right there. That's original Taylor Swift fan. All right, Ross, let's get to all this Eagles stuff. And it's been a weird 2 days here because they won a game and very little of the conversation is actually about the game, who played well, who didn't, what we look forward to moving forward. It's about Nick Sirianni. Ross, what was your take? Obviously, we now got the apology from Sirianni. But what did you make of Sirianni Sunday? And really off of that, the players seem to be saying they want Nick to be Nick. So where do you come down in him trying to serve that master, but also, you know, obviously not do all of what he did Sunday?
Well, that's what's so interesting to me about it, right? I mean, I don't know a single person that thought it was a good look seeing Sirianni chirping at the Eagles fans. And I know Kevin in Warminster or whatever says he was talking to him and he called in or whatever, right? I mean, I still don't think it's a good look. Nobody thinks it's a good look. And I think Sirianni realized it's not a good look. You can never win giving it back to the fans, your own fans, in any way. I will say, though, the whole dynamic after the game with BG and Hurts and these guys saying that they've encouraged Sirianni to show his emotion, to be more himself like he was back in 2022, that's sort of like, I don't know, that's the part that, I don't know if it confuses me, but that's sort of the fly in the ointment, Joe, in the sense that, is this just who Sirianni is, or was he going a little bit over the top because he was encouraged by the players during the bye week to be like this?
That's the hard part. And a lot of people today are saying if the players are okay with it, then they're okay with it. Now here's the part for me, Ross. What's the line? Like, if they want to do an us against the world mentality, if they win games, I'm okay with it, but he's got to keep some of it just within the team, right? Like, if they want to say, screw the fans inside the locker room and we never hear about it, all right, go win a game and rally together. It just felt like Sunday was a little bit over the top, and it didn't really need to happen. They won the game.
Well, so first of all, and I would think Hugh might agree with me, but I am not a fan of players talking trash to coaches. I'm sorry, the opposite. Coaches talking trash to players on the other team, because unless you're actually going to go inside the white lines and physically
put hands
put yourself
on somebody
at risk, yeah, you can't be chirping from the sideline like that. Like, if you're going to be out there and I can try to hit you on the next play or a play after that, or we can settle it, that's a totally different deal. So I'm not a fan of that. I'm okay with him, you know, showing emotion and, you know, getting excited on the sideline and supporting his players. I even thought it was hilarious at times when he would, you know, mug for the camera when the Eagles were killing teams a couple years ago. There was that weird camera that was like right in his face and he like nodded at it. You know, they were killing the Giants by 30. Okay, that's fine. I don't really need or want to see him do stuff to the other team's players. I don't believe in that. And certainly not to Eagles fans, unless it was like a playful give it back and forth thing, which I don't know. That Kevin guy doesn't sound like he was cool with it.
He did, yeah. And look, playful stuff is okay. It's just we don't even know what was said, and he didn't want to talk about that. So he apologized, and now the Eagles get ready for their next game. Russ, let's actually talk about how they played. They won. They won by 4 over the Cleveland Browns. What did you make of the way they played? Obviously, the good is Hurts, no turnovers. A.J. Brown looked great. Cooper DeJean getting on the field and playing a lot and playing well. What did you take from the actual game on the field Sunday?
Well, so you just named, I would say, the three biggest ones. I'm excited about Cooper DeJean, man. Really excited. You know, it seems like Howie nailed it with his first two picks in the secondary, which he really needed to do. DeJean looks like he's going to be a plus player there, right? Like, you know, Avante Maddox was kind of a liability a little bit. And Cooper DeJean, I know it was only one game, but that was very, very encouraging. I like what I'm seeing from Ajumma. It felt like the D-line was better. Now, that said, boy, the Browns are bad, especially in the first half. The Browns were so bad. And I was concerned, Joe, about the Eagles offensively. They didn't really run the ball very well at all, and everybody else had been able to run it on Cleveland. They never, not one time, did they get the ball to Saquon Barkley in space. I feel like if I were starting the week, that would be like option one for me. Maybe it's a screen. Maybe it's just, you know, he's shown that if you cover him with a linebacker, he will dust that guy. Mm. I'm concerned about the offense in the sense that it doesn't look like a lot of stuff. And the Browns have some good guys on defense, but nothing's easy, Joe. It's like they couldn't run it. They, you know, I know Devontae got wide open on the one play, but other than that, they're just throwing like fade routes where they're basically saying we need our receiver to be better than their corner. He needs to make this play. It just doesn't seem like things are as easy at times as they should be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it feels disjointed, and they need the big pass play down the field or like a broken play, like the mesh plays that leave the receiver wide open and make a big play. Russ, do you have any theories on why they can't score in the first quarter? You look at them, so they're 18th in the NFL in points per game, but quarter by quarter, I think it's like 9th, 10th, 11th, you know, go to the second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, right? Let's make it simple. They're like a top 10 scoring offense the rest of the game. First quarter, Ross, 0 points, dead last in the NFL. Do you have any theory on why a team the rest of the game is pretty good and the first quarter they can't score a single point?
Yeah, they have a bad plan. They have a bad script going into the game. There's no way around it. Now, I will say there are some coordinators, and this is an interesting discussion, who totally script for success. What do I mean by that? The first 10, the first 12, first 15, different guys do it differently. That's totally designed to try to go down the field and score a touchdown. Other guys, they want to have a different personnel grouping and formation every play in their script. They want to see what the defense is doing, how they're playing them, and then allow them to know how they want to attack the rest of the game. So I'm wondering if Kellen Moore is focusing more on the latter than the former, meaning let's do all these different formations, let's do all these different personnel groupings, see what Schwartz or whoever their plan is against it, and then I'll know how I want to attack moving forward. They need to script for success. They're such a better team when they play with a lead, and there is no other explanation other than...
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And if they're not scripting for success, they need to. If they already are scripting for success, they're doing a really bad job of it. I mean, there's no way around it. They're the only team that hasn't scored, and honestly, they're not even getting close to scoring in the first quarter.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned this. After the game, it kind of flew under the radar because all the other stuff with Sirianni, but he seemed to downplay this. Like, hey, we figured it out in the end. We scored. We won. But, Ross, you look right now, the teams that have the best first quarter point differential, they're winning almost every week. And the teams that don't mostly have losing records. It feels like common sense. If you get off to a lead like they did 2 years ago in 22, you're probably going to win the game. It just feels like we're playing with one hand tied behind our back and trying to figure it out in the second quarter.
1,000%. It's not the way they need to be playing. It's not the way the defense or the team is designed, right? The whole team is designed to get a lead early with the passing game. And then once you have the lead and the other team has to play from behind, let your pass rushers just tee off on the opposition and be able to close the game out in the second half when the defense is tired for the other team by handing it to Saquon and running it with Hurts. And by the way, you know, I'm kind of a Kellen Moore fan. Like that option play at the end of the game to get the first down, that was awesome. I mean, that was, I really like that design on the third down, the Hurts option play. They have some good design. They have some good plays. They need to incorporate more of them on the first drive and in the first quarter to try to get a lead for all the reasons you mentioned. And the other thing about that, Joe, is you mentioned what Sirianni said. It's interesting because if Kevin said, Kevin Warminster said that Sirianni was talking about running the ball, right? And said, I got it. Like, we'll get it. We'll run. It sounds like, on some level, Sirianni, you know, he reacted negatively also to the thing in the first quarter. You know, I mean, I'm surprised rather than just saying we'll get it handled, I would think he'd be like, "You're right. We need to do better, and we will do better." You know what I mean? As opposed to like, I got it. No, you don't have it. You don't have it yet. You haven't had it yet this year.
Yeah, we're waiting for it, Ross. Let's look forward to Sunday. You know, usually whenever the Eagles are in one of these spots, they get the Giants on the schedule, and that's the cure. It's been that way, I'd say, for like the last 5 or 6, 7 years. They get the Giants. Well, that's a win. Move forward and get them to the next game. Ross, the Giants are 2-4. What do you make of them? Is it same old Giants, or will this be a challenge Sunday for the Eagles going up to MetLife?
They're a better team than they were last year, for sure. I think they're closer to what they were a couple years ago. Their defensive line, their defense in general is good, but their defensive line in particular is awesome, like better than the Eagles' defensive line so far this year. And so this is not a good game, by the way, for the Eagles to not have Jordan Mailata, because they're going to put Brian Burns over Fred Johnson, and the Eagles are going to need to give Fred Johnson help. He's not going to be able to handle Brian Burns by himself all game long. And then on the other side, I would suspect the Giants will get Malik Nabers back. He is fantastic. Their rookie top five pick wide receiver, or top six, I guess, out of LSU. Interestingly, he missed the last two games with a concussion. A lot of guys seemingly miss one game with a concussion. He missed two, but I am expecting him to be back for this one. That will be a major challenge for the Eagles. The Giants' offense is much better when Nabers is out there. It's going to be a close game. Listen, I do a betting podcast on Tuesdays, Joe, the Even Money Betting Podcast, and right now the Giants are getting 3.5. I kind of like the Giants getting the points. I mean, I think the Eagles will find a way to win a close game late, because I just have more faith in Hurts to win a close game late than I do in Daniel Jones. But I do think it'll be a close game, another one that Eagles fans will have to sweat out.
Well, it's been a full year, though, so that read on the game is probably right. Ross, we appreciate it as always. Have a great week, and we'll catch up soon. Thank you, Ross.
Sounds great. See you guys.
There he goes. Ross Tucker at Ross Tucker NFL there. Talking Eagles, and yeah, Nabers, but Nabers against Quinyon Mitchell should be a fun matchup on Sunday. But that's a good point. If we don't have Mailata, and it certainly seems like we don't, could be a problem against Brian Burns.
Someone picked up Nabers in our fantasy league, by the way.
Someone drop him.
Why y'all won't put my business out there on the radio?
Is that certain someone 1-5? I'm asking questions.
Yeah, I'm taking L's.
He's an idiot.
All right, 215-592-9494. Get to all your phone calls in the 1 o'clock hour. You can react to the Bobrovsky topper.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.